have a few thoughts from the Word of God that I would like to share with you. Have you ever been in a situation where you find some people have faith that seem to defy the facts? They have this belief that somehow God will come through despite all the factual evidence. And then you have other people who seem to stick to the facts and they can't bring themselves to have faith. There is a story in the Bible that encapsulates this very, very well. It is found in the book of Numbers. Numbers is right at the beginning of the Bible. It's the third book. So if you find your Bible there, take out the dust and let's read it together. Genesis, Exodus, Numbers. Numbers, the big number 13, is the chapter 13 where we will read from verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, "Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders." Moses obeyed the word of God, and they sent one tribe, one leader from each tribe to the land. When we come to this point in the story, we find that God had freed them from Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt, and God brings them out into the desert, waiting to come to the promised land. When it comes to the promised land, they are ready to enter. And God says, just send some spies first. Go check out the land first. And they send the 12 spies. The 12 spies go up the river. They go through the valleys and the mountains, and they investigate the land. After a period, they come back to report to the 2 million people, just about, that were there from the people of Israel. And this is the report that they give. Let's read together from verse 26. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There, they reported to them and the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. "We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is the fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. And even we saw descendants of Anak there." Those were the giants. "The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan." Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the man had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there." The descendants of Anak are from the Nephilim, the giants. "We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them." So here you have the report of these two reports. On the one hand, you have Caleb and Joshua. Later we find Joshua is part of that group too. Caleb and Joshua are saying, "Bring it on. God promised a land that was flowing with milk and honey, and it was a wonderful land. We saw the land, and it's ours. It's exactly as God said." But then you had the other group who simply said, "We cannot do it. The people who are living there are giants. We cannot do it." You see, the first part, they all agreed. All 12 of them agreed that the land was good, the cities were fortified, and people were giants. Where they disagreed is what to do next. And that comes the part about faith. Have you noticed that faith, always you have to grapple with the facts, but the facts are the same. What you need to do is decide whether you will have faith or not. And we often look on this passage and we say that Joshua and Caleb had tremendous faith. We say that they ignored the facts, and because of their faith, they were willing to go forward. And the 10 spies, well, we say that they looked at the facts. Their faith wasn't strong enough, but they were factual. They were the scientific among them. Let's just look at the facts, and the facts are bad. The facts are against us. And usually we have this dichotomy between faith and facts. In the very next chapter, something terrible happens. Let's read together what happens in chapter 14. It says, "That night, All the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt or in the wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to each other, "We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt." The situation gets so bad that in verse 10, they pick up stones and they want to kill Moses and Joshua and Caleb and Aaron. Can you imagine a situation getting so bad that the slaves prefer to go back to be under the whip of their masters than to be looking faithfully to the future as they gain possession of the land? This was incredible. It was both terrible and it carried consequences that the people of Israel did not expect. After this situation, God looked and said, "This generation will die in the desert. Only their children will gain possession of the land." It seemed that it was easier to take the people out of Egypt than it was to take Egypt out of the people. Egypt was there, ingrained in them, and they found it difficult to go forward. Where did Joshua and Caleb find this faith that defied the facts? Did they not see the giants there? Did they not notice how difficult it would be? How could they have this faith? I would like to propose to you today that it was the exact opposite. The fear from the 10 spies and from the rest of the people of Israel did not come from facts. It was, in fact, that they were ignoring the most important facts of the story. Let's look at this. Egypt was the most powerful nation on earth at the time. And God came and with a mighty hand, the Bible says, he freed them from Egypt. So the most powerful nation on the planet was conquered by this God that they served. The facts were fulfilling the vision of Joshua and Caleb. It was Joshua and Caleb who were factual. And this point cannot be emphasized enough. Joshua and Caleb were looking at the right facts. What does that mean? They were freed from the most powerful nation on earth. The sea opened up in front of them. They watched the most powerful army collapsed under the waves. Those were the facts that they were looking at. They were looking at the fact that there was always a cloud of fire at night, a pillar of fire at night, and a cloud during the day. At night in a desert, it's very cold. And God, every single night, was there protecting his people with heat from the desert in light. During the day, they had a cloud to protect them from the sun. Every morning, they collected manna that sprouted out of nowhere in the desert. Those were the facts that Joshua and Caleb chose to look at. Their faith was not misguided. Their faith was not based on abstract thinking that had no reality. Joshua and Caleb, along with Moses and Aaron, they were looking at the correct facts. In our lives, we always have that temptation. It is easy for us to look at the second coming of Jesus, the promise that God will put this earth back together. And it's easy for us to say the facts go against it. Nothing is happening in that direction. For us to look at scientifically, that will not happen. And then we look at the people of faith and we say, well, how can you have faith if the facts are against you? The people of faith are simply looking at different facts. The fact that God created this earth. Oh, but science says he didn't. If you look very closely at the scientific data, it is becoming more and more difficult to defend that we came here by accident. This is called the theory of fine-tuning. You see, if the earth was a few miles further away from the sun, there would be no life. If the earth was a little bit closer to the sun, there would be no life. If the earth was tilted differently in its axis, there would be no life. If the earth had not had a magnetic core that would be in the middle of it, iron and moving and being burnt, there would be no earth. That's what protects us. This magnetic field protects us from, from the sun itself. And I could list here thousands of these little dials that if any of them were slightly off, there would be no life on earth. It is scientifically impossible through statistics to imagine that all of those were simply there by accident. And now physicists, theoretical physicists, have pointed out that no, there is a possibility there are multiple universes because of the impossibility, the statistical impossibility of all of these dials being perfect to allow for life on earth. And I haven't even begun to talk about our DNA. It is impossible for our DNA to have evolved in the way that Charles Darwin put it. And if you don't want to take the word of a pastor, just take the word of the scientists who have been studying this. The scientists that have woken up to the facts. Friends, if you believe in God, it's not that you are ignoring the facts, it's that you are fully embracing the right facts. And this has implications for our lives. Because if God created this earth, then the mess that we find it, the evil that we find in it, and the terrible things that we see on television, that we see in our own lives, it is a constant suffering mixed with malevolence. And why is that? It is because we rebelled against God. But the fact is, God did not give up on us. He continues to protect us. And this meant sending Jesus to show himself as the God of love. Now, Jesus coming to earth is in itself a miracle. God becoming one of us. We will never comprehend or understand it. But God taught us through Jesus what he is like. Love, compassion, generosity, truth. All those things matter. I know that if you turn on the television, truth is no longer important. Everybody has their own truth and it doesn't really matter. No, truth matters. It matters a great deal because truth is found in a person, Jesus Christ. And if this is the first time you're listening to this and you're trying to follow this process, let's talk about the death and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus died. There is plenty of evidence for that. And Jesus was resurrected on Sunday. There is plenty of evidence for that. Don't be surprised by this, but there are more factual historical evidences for the resurrection than the existence of the first Caesar in Rome. There are many books written by historians who analyze the evidence for the resurrection, and their conclusion is solid. The resurrection of Jesus is a historical fact. You're saying this because you're a preacher and you believe this already. If you are interested enough in truth, then connect with us on this page, and we'll provide all the resources you need. And you can dig as deep as you want to dig. And you will find that if you choose the right facts, if you choose to see what God has done in the past, having faith in what he will do in the future is just a natural consequence. For Joshua and for Caleb and for Moses and for Aaron, they remembered when they were slaves. They remembered how God freed them with a powerful hand. They remembered how they collected manna that morning. They remembered how God protected them from a cloud during the day and a pillar of fire during the night. They chose the right facts. The other 10 spies, they ignored those facts. They decided that they would act based on fear. Fear, when it takes hold of our heart, it's impossible for us to see the facts clearly. Scientifically impossible. You see, when we are fearful, when we are scared, we produce a hormone called cortisol. Cortisol in good doses is fantastic because it helps us in the morning to get up and to get things done. Cortisol is an important hormone. But when you have excesses of cortisol, when you are excessively scared, what happens is that cortisol takes over. And when it does, you lose the functions of thinking. And all you can do is to fight or flight. All you can do is to respond with your body. You can no longer think clearly. And that's what happens to the 10 spies. It's not that they looked at the facts and they came to a different conclusion. It's not that they could not bring themselves to have faith. They were terrified. Fear can do that to you. And if you choose to focus on the wrong thing, well, don't be surprised if you find yourself not knowing what to do. Faith is the result of looking at the fact very, very clearly. If you have this idea that for those people that have faith, that they are misguided, that they have no factual evidence, that it's just wishful thinking, then you need to think again. Do not dismiss faith as something that can be just, it's just wishful thinking. It's just cloud stuff, very fluffy and abstract. No, 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 no. Emperors and rulers and dictators have tried to destroy Christianity, have tried to kill this story, and they failed one after the other. And the reason is simple. It is true. What we find in the story of Jesus is true. It resonates with the heart of people. So I want to challenge you now. If you want to understand this further, then contact us. In fact, visit hopebiblestudy.org, and you will find there resources for you to dig as deep as you are willing to go to discover the truth, because truth matters. Now, what happened to this people of Israel in the desert was tragic. They died in the desert precisely because of their fear. If they only managed to look at the facts properly, they would have gained possession of the land 40 years before. What we find is even more tragic is that when they came to the land, when they finally arrived, Joshua, the original spy, sent two spies into the city in Jericho. And when they finally talked to someone, the woman, Rahab, who lived on the wall, when they finally talked to somebody, we are told Rahab was a prostitute. And therefore, we can assume that she was young, which means that she probably wasn't alive when God freed them from Egypt. And you know what she says? She says the most amazing thing. When those spies sent by Joshua, 40 years after our story that we're reading, when those spies talk to Rahab, she says, "Our hearts are trembling in fear because of you." The people that these spies in Numbers 14 that we read earlier, the people here, they thought, we look like grasshoppers in their eyes. We look like nothing. Former slaves, and they are giants. They will destroy us. But they never talked to anybody in the land. If they talked to a single person, they would realize that their hearts were trembling in fear because of the people of Israel. Their vision of the facts was wrong. They believed that they should be scared, but they shouldn't. Why is that? Well, it's very simple. Everybody knew how God freed them from Egypt. It was very clear that the most powerful army in the world had been humiliated. And the same God who was behind that victory was with the people of Israel. So when they arrived in Jericho, of course Jericho was scared. Of course they were worried. Our hearts are trembling in fear because of you. Maybe you are scared of what's happening in the world today. Maybe you are looking at this pandemic and you think, why is there such suffering in the world? Why doesn't God do something about it if he exists? How can I face the future? Maybe you are so overcome by fear that you cannot see the facts clearly. And the facts are these. God created you and he loves you. He died for you. And if he created you and died for you, you can trust his word when he says, "I am coming back. Do not let your hearts be troubled." John chapter 14 says, "Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place, and then I will come back and take you to be where I am." The promise from Scripture is that Jesus is preparing a place, and he is coming back. The facts are clear. He created you. He loves you. And if you take hold of those facts, it will help you with your fear. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid, says the Bible. Why? Because Jesus is coming to bring you to be where he is. This earth will be renewed, says the Bible. And if you need faith, understand that you need faith to believe the proper facts. And as you look to the future, you may think, well, how can I live like this? I am in trouble. You see, some people get this understanding, and it's a total misunderstanding that if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, you will never suffer. In fact, Jesus promises the exact opposite. In this world, you will have trouble. This is a promise that Jesus gives. You will find difficulty, Jesus says. You will have trouble. He even says that some people may persecute you and kill you in my name. This is a promise. You can be certain that suffering will be part of your life and that the world sometimes will crush you. But Jesus says, but do not fear, for I have conquered the world. Jesus gained the victory that will be yours. Your general and king, Jesus, once you submit to him, understand you are submitting to a war that has already been won. It's just a matter of time until God restores this world. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that God is withdrawing his spirit from the earth. This is a serious statement that the protection that the world sees, God is stepping up, stepping out of it. So evil will be allowed to prevail for longer than God wished. You see, God never wishes for evil to prevail. He is allowing it to continue for a time, and one day we will understand his wisdom. When Joshua came to Jericho with an army, notice that God asked him, this was the first city really in Canaan, and God asked him to go round 7 times in silence. Every day they would go round, and they would play music, and they were not allowed to shout insults of war. Do you know why? I imagine it's because God hoped that Jericho would surrender. I believe that God hoped that Jericho would surrender to a different way of living. In Jericho, they worshiped gods that required human sacrifice in a way that the innocent continue to suffer. They worshiped Baal and Ashtaroth, among other gods. And the worship of Baal, young women would be brought into the temple to be abused in a way that will excite Baal, the god of heaven, to bring his seed, the rain, on Ashtaroth, the goddess of earth. Now, this was evil because the innocent was suffering and God was going to put an end to it. But before he did, he wanted to give Jericho one more chance. So he marched around the city in silence. Rahab decided, one of the women who lived on the wall that talked to the spy, she decided that she did not want to die, that she wanted to be part of these people of God, that she wanted to become called as one of God's children. And you know what happened? Even though she was not a descendant, direct descendant of Abraham, she was fully accepted as part of Israel. Was it Joshua that decided it? Was it the spies? Look, she lived on a wall. That's where she lived. That's where her house was. And at the end of the seventh day, as they marched around 7 times, the Bible says that judgment came and the walls came down. Now work with me here. It wasn't just Joshua that decided she should be part of God's people. God had to stop that part of the wall from falling in order to protect Rahab and for Rahab to be saved. Not only was Rahab saved, the book of Matthew points her to be one of the great, great, great grandmothers of the Savior himself. She became one of the descendants, one of the ascendants of Jesus himself. Can you imagine the privilege? And why? Because she decided to leave the injustice and the violence from the other gods, and she decided to accept God as God and to move and to change, to have more compassion and love. Friends, what we are talking about here is that faith does not require you to leave reason at the door. It's the very opposite. It's that you embrace the facts because faith needs facts. Look at how God has helped you in your life. Do you remember the times when you prayed and out of nowhere salvation came? Remember those facts. Because when you face the future, when you find yourself scared, when you find yourself, your body being filled with fear, remember that the God who brought you salvation in the past is the same God that will bring you in the future. There are moments where God saved you that you're not even aware of. And if you want to know more about this God, hopebiblestudy.org. Just visit the website. Get in touch with us. Tell us your story, and you will find a God that is loving, a God that is present, and a God that is returning. All the suffering that you see on earth will not go on forever. God in his mercy is waiting for us to have a chance to choose him, like Rahab had a chance to choose him. And what will you do today? Are you going to be obsessed by fear, or are you going to give Jesus the opportunity to show you the right facts about the world and your life so that your faith is founded on something that can be certain? I know that we keep saying that those that have faith don't know the facts. I put to you that from this story, from the Word of God, that just isn't the case. The people that have unwavering faith, they just choose very clearly which facts they would like to embrace. I want to make an appeal to you that are at home to accept the right facts, to accept that you were created in love, to accept that you have rebelled, to accept that Jesus, God, loves you and died for you and has conquered death to give you life. I want you to accept that He is returning, He's coming back. And if you take those facts from the past, you can be certain that you have no reason to fear for the future, because Jesus Christ is coming back, and Jesus Christ will restore this mess, and you and I will be part of it. Let me invite you, if you want to make a decision for this, I want to invite you to pray with me. I'd like to pray for you. Even as you are watching this on a device, on or on television, just close your eyes. This may be the first prayer you ever are part of. That's okay. God has been wanting to speak to you since you were born. So just close your eyes and focus with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to come to you with the thousands of people that are watching this live and those that will watch this later. Lord, be with each one of us and give us insight and a vision for the right facts, that our faith may be founded so that we can face the future with the certainty of your second coming. Thank you for your word and how we can have faith in what you've done in the past to give us the ability to face the future. Bless each family and protect them. In the name of Jesus, our King and Savior, we pray. Amen. Thank you for watching Hope at Home. This is the last episode of this series. And we want to thank you for being part of this week after week. In a few moments, we will end this program. And I want to invite you to share it. Share it with your friends. Share it with your family. Share with those that need a word of hope and encouragement. Hope Channel is the official television network of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and we want you to know that whenever you have need, we are here for you, to pray for you, to help you understand the Bible. You are not alone now, and you're not alone in the future. Thank you for watching.